Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church as we gather once again to hear God's word and to praise our God for his grace. That grace is certainly seen in the resurrection, and it's proved by it. That's what we talked about last week, how the word proves the resurrection, which is such a crazy thing. And yet we know that. And today we're going to talk about how we can be confident in that fact and confident as we preach and share that fact. So you'll see that reflected throughout the service today. Also in the service today, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper, so prepare your mind and heart to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you're a visitor with us today, we would direct your attention to the little paragraph on the inside part of the bulletin. Speaking of the bulletin, this will help guide us in our worship this morning. The whole order of worship will be there for us, and as you can see, we will open with verses 1 and 5 of hymn 143 in those red song books in front of you. God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence with and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now that we have received God's mercy, we ask for His continued mercy in our lives. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and they are glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
Lord, have mercy.
O God, by your Son humbling himself, you lifted up this fallen world from the despair of death. By his resurrection to life, grant your faithful people gladness of heart and the hope of eternal joys. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. When we had seen Peter before Christ's death, he was afraid and he ran away. Now we see Peter among everybody proclaiming the confidence of Jesus being the one true Savior because of his resurrection. From Acts chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Psalms in the Old Testament were poems or songs that they would sing in worship, and we do that today too, here with Psalm 118.
Thank you.
second lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3. Here we see Paul looking for Titus because he needed word from the Corinthians, and yet he was also very confident that everything would be just fine. From 2 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3. "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." This is the word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects what we do when we open up the Scriptures as Jesus did. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen, He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our hearts were burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. Luke chapter 24 here shows that Jesus gives proof of his resurrection and then equips his disciples as they become messengers to the world. From Luke chapter 24. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 160, "This Joyful Easter Tide," 160. God's grace and God's peace has been given to you through Jesus Christ our Lord and proved to you by his resurrection from the dead. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the second lesson, 2 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3, which I won't reread at this time, so let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your resurrection. Amen. I've got a riddle for you. What smells is written on and easily read and has been given God's A-OK? You. You smell. You're an open letter for all to read. Because of that, you can be confident. You have God's A-OK. You ever heard that from your pastor before? You smell. And when somebody tells you, you smell, does that really inspire confidence inside of you usually? And how often do you hear, I can read you like a book? And that gives you confidence. But that is what's all packed in to this beautiful sermon text today. This portion of Scripture God has given us today is meant to give us confidence as we share Christ and his resurrection with the world. And that's good, because there are a lot of things out there that can steal our confidence. We can have opponents that try to shame us for our beliefs, that try to make fun of our beliefs, that try to make us seem like we're crazy for our beliefs. A resurrection, a man coming back from the dead, that's crazy. But we can be our own opponents too sometimes. Sometimes we can think, boy, you know, is my preaching Christ actually doing anything? I went out canvassing with the mighty warriors and I invited somebody to church and they never came. Or I shared the love of Christ with my friend all the time and it's just, nothing seems to be getting through. You might even think, boy, I'm really terrible at this. Or I don't even know what to say. Sometimes our own doubts can cause us and to have our confidence drop down. But Paul had no doubts. Even when there were people and opponents coming to his congregation that he started in Corinth, bad-mouthing him and bad-mouthing the gospel message that he was preaching, they were trying to create doubt in that message and in what Christ did in his resurrection. But Paul had no doubt. He was confident, and he wanted to share that confidence with the Corinthians. God wants to share that confidence with you today. You smell. You're an open letter, and therefore you can be confident. The first thing that gave Paul confidence was the smell of the gospel message, and therefore the smell of those who bear it. Thanks be to God who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. What Paul is picturing here is the ancient Roman triumph. That's when a king or a general would have a big military victory and he'd come to his city and they'd all celebrate. Think of like the sports parades that you have for the sports teams that win the championship. People would line the streets back then and they'd cheer on their king and they'd throw flowers in the air. And they'd burn incense, and they'd burn sacrifices, and the smell of it all would be in the air. But the king would also be dragging behind him the captives from the battle. To them, it wasn't such a good smell. Because when they got to the end of the line, and they got to the city center or the palace, they would be executed. So to them, it wasn't the smell that they liked at all. It was actually the smell of defeat and impending death. Paul says, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task?" You and I know about Christ's victory on the cross and the fact that he proved that victory in his resurrection, and now we help spread that aroma throughout the world. To those who hate that message, to those who reject it, to those who despise that message, well, for them that message is like the rotting smell of produce in the garbage can. Rotting decay of roadkill. To them, it's the smell of death. And when it comes down to it, when they get to the end of that line, it will ultimately be for them, because they're on the wrong side of that victory of Christ, it'll be eternal death. But to those who don't reject it and who are brought to see the life that's in that message, oh, to them, it's like walking into the kitchen when you're favorite food is cooking. It's like your favorite perfume or cologne. It's like your favorite air freshener smell. That smell that just makes you go, ooh, that smells good. When people come to faith, it's like they're saying, ooh, that gospel smells good. It smells like life, eternal life. So how are you doing in giving off that gospel fragrance? You and I are believers, and so we're always giving off that gospel scent. But how are you doing in giving off that scent? Are you one of those cheap air fresheners that you buy at the dollar store? The ones where you put them in your house and you hide them behind something? You rediscover them months later, like, oh yeah, I forgot I put that there. The reason you forgot is because it doesn't smell. Is that you? You know, sometimes we can cover up that gospel fragrance with the rotting stench of our sinful choices. We can stifle that gospel smell by not being refreshed in it, by staying in the Word. We can suppress the aroma of Christ when our doubts arise in our minds, like the disciples in the gospel lesson about Christ's resurrection. So are you one of those cheap air fresheners? Or are you one of those nice, timed air fresheners? Those ones that are always constant in giving off that fragrance. Can others see the love of Christ in you and the way that you live and what you do and what you say? How many people have you told Christ about in your life? You smell, but how much? Probably more than you realize. And the effectiveness of the gospel message that you're spreading is more effective than you think. That's what Paul was trying to show the Corinthians. The Corinthians weren't seeing it, so Paul was telling them. They had all these false teachers coming, and they were doubting the effectiveness of Paul's ministry and therefore of the gospel message. And so Paul, anticipating what his opponents might say to him, says this to the Corinthians. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Here what Paul's talking about are these little letters that traveling teachers and messengers would bring with them so that wherever they would go, people would trust their message. It was probably written by somebody that those people trusted. And so they, okay, we can trust this messenger. Well, the opponents of Paul were saying, Paul doesn't have any of these letters of recommendation. But he did, in a way. Paul says to the Corinthians, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Why do you doubt my ministry among you, Corinthians, and the effectiveness of what I preach to you, Paul says. Look at yourself. People can see that you are an open letter of Christ. They can see it in us, in the way we talk about you, and the way we feel about you. They can see it in you. They can see the work of the Holy Spirit that He's worked in your hearts. You yourselves are an open letter for all to read. So you can be confident as well and the effectiveness of the gospel message that you're helping to spread. How? Look at yourself, and look at the results that have happened in your life. Look at those around you. Look at how you bettered that person's life when you did that nice thing for them. Look at the smile that you brought to that person's face when you shared that encouraging word to them in church. Look at how that person's faith grew when you prioritized their faith and their spiritual needs, even ahead of your own. You can see it. You know, sometimes we forget about the effectiveness of the gospel and we doubt it, but we miss all of the obvious results that are all around us. Look in the mirror, even. You yourselves are an open letter for Christ. You can see it. Your friends can see it, your family can see it, your acquaintances, neighbors, all of them can see it. Look at the hope of Christ that you have. Look at the grasp of eternal life that you have. Look at the good works that you're doing. You yourselves are an open letter of Christ that helps the Holy Spirit write more letters of Christ. Part of the problem, though, is that the devil tries to press on our consciences when we aren't giving off that gospel smell. Or when we aren't such an open letter of Christ. Have you ever noticed that? When we start feeling the guilt and shame over our own sins, that we share Christ less with those around us. Have you noticed that before? Sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm not good enough, so if I share Christ and I show people that I'm a Christian at work or with my friends, well, then I have to live up to a standard that I know I can't reach. Or worse yet, maybe you think, I don't want to reach that standard because I like my sin too much and I want to cling to it. And then deep down, you know, you feel like this lousy Christian. And you just think, well, I can't share Christ. Look at me. Or you say, please don't look at me. If I'm an open letter of Christ, well, then I'm giving a terrible message. I don't know why God doesn't just crumple up this letter and throw it away in the rotting garbage. What, do you think Paul was some choir boy, perfect human being? That he was able to preach Christ and be qualified and competent to preach Christ? He was the self-proclaimed worst of sinners. Not that he clung to his sin that he struggled with, but he knew the real answer to that question that he asked earlier about being the aroma of Christ. He asked, and who is equal to such a task? The answer? Not one of us. And yet every one of us. That's the beautiful backwardness of the gospel. Thanks to Jesus, we know that we are not high quality. We are the best quality possible. That's what that empty tomb means. Jesus tasted the rottenness of death so you and I would never even have to sniff it. Jesus was equal to the task, and thanks to him, we are equal to the task now too, because he made us equal. He made us competent. God has given you his gracious fragrance. And what do you think? God, when he wrote, Holy Spirit wrote on your heart, this one belongs to God, that he made you into some shabby-looking, tattered letter? No, you are some beautiful, heartfelt written letter. One of the most sincere letters ever received or written. That's what can give you confidence as you share the resurrection of Christ with others. That's why Paul says, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence, our quality, comes from God. You smell really, really good. And you are an open letter of Christ for all to see, because God has given you that. In fact, he's made you competent for it, and he's given you confidence for it. Such confidence that Paul says we can speak with sincerity as if from God and as if before God. How can we possibly have that confidence? You and I, we struggle sometimes sharing it with fellow human beings. How can we share the message of Christ and his resurrection as if we're sent from God and as if we're saying it in God's holy presence? Well, what did Jesus do? What did the Apostle Peter do in our first lesson? They opened up the scriptures. And when those who heard it, in their hearts it burned because the Holy Spirit was writing in them. Even Paul tells us that people will praise God because of it. That's the confidence that we can have. That's the same word that we have, the same life-giving Bible. God has given us that aroma of Christ that we can waft from the Word of God to the world, that we can open our hearts with so that we can open others' hearts as well. And when we do that, guess what? People aren't going to be smelling the rottenness of death. They're going to be smelling life. God has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter of the but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So if your pastor tells you, you smell, remember, that's a good thing. In fact, going forward, now I hope that we can joyously and confidently tell each other, you know, you really smell. You are an open book for all to read. And I love it. I like seeing it. Because thanks to Christ, you are a confident, smelly letter of Christ. Amen. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ proved in the resurrection, guard your hearts and minds through faith in him until the last day. Amen. We now join together in a 1,600-plus-year-old creed of confidence from the Lord called the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became a fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the offering. This morning, as part of the prayer of the church, we will pray for all of those with health challenges, including David Haugen, Betty Oskin, Ken Bickham, Don Thorne, Martha Schmidt, who is undergoing surgery this week, Mr. and Mrs. Buffalo, who are friends of the Hoppings, as well as Patricia Hill, the daughter of Lois Brower. We'll also include a prayer for those celebrating anniversaries and birthdays. I'll pray the prayer of the church on our behalf, and then we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer. We pray. Lord, give us the confidence to spread your gospel message in word and deed. Continue to strengthen us in knowledge of your word so others can see you in us. Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week. Be with them, their families, their doctors and nurses, and all others who are helping them shoulder this burden. Lift their spirits with the resurrection of Christ, whose life made sure that someday all of these difficulties will vanish forever. Continue to bless all of those who are celebrating birthdays. Allow this day to be a reminder of your grace to them throughout all of their days. Lord, we thank you for the love of those celebrating anniversaries. In your divine wisdom, continue to allow both good days and bad to draw their hearts and lives closer to each other, that they may be an example of the love you have for all of us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms and placed all things under his feet for the benefit of the church. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 318, sent forth by God's blessing. Good morning. It was a lot of fun worshiping God with you this morning. May God bless your week with that. Everything that you took in today. Can still take stuff in today and refresh yourself in the gospel scent with Sunday school and Bible studies. New round of Bible studies begin today. It'll be 1st through 3rd John with Pastor Colander here in the sanctuary. I'll be leading a Bible study on prayer in the chapel as well. So that starts today. God bless your studies. Today is also the last day to purchase soiree tickets, St. Mark's soiree tickets, April 28th, but today is the last day. And you'll see the table back there, the big old sign, where you can purchase those. The church picked or direct, hey, perfect timing there, Blake. The church picture directory. Boy, that was tough. We're looking to update that and get your pictures in there and all of your information in there so that you can contact each other if you need to. Blake is here. this morning. He'll be here at the front of the church to take your picture if you don't have that yet. So find Blake. Today is also LWMS Mission Box. It's the last Sunday to give. It's a pink box back there in the lobby. Last Sunday before the spring rally coming up, so it's a big one. So put that on your mind and heart to give to that great mission. Also want to make you aware, it's already come in, St. Mark's merchandise. We call it merchandise because it just kind of matches with the M thing. But we'll have t-shirts, we'll have license plate frames, we'll have coffee mugs, we'll have grocery bags, and nice big ones that you can purchase so that you can spread that gospel outside by inviting people to worship and simply by silently doing it with stuff on your shirt or stuff on your grocery bag. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Get ready for that. Next, I have a letter to read. Last week, we extended a call to Principal Tim Miller at Star of Bethlehem School in New Berlin, Wisconsin. I have a letter from him. Dear partners in ministry at St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School, I have received the call to serve as principal at your church and school. I am humbled and consider it a privilege to have been called to serve in this way. I will prayerfully examine the needs of your church and school together with the needs here at Star of Bethlehem in light of my ministerial gifts so that I might be provided clarity to make a well-informed decision. I am convinced that our God will provide for the ministries of both congregations regardless of the decision that I make. It is this central truth which provides peace for me during this time of deliberation. Our God is good and amazing. Please join with me as I pray for the Lord to keep me focused on the good of His kingdom and where I might best carry out His work. May our Lord's will be done and all done to His glory, serving our Savior, Tim Miller. So keep him in your prayers as he deliberates that call to be our principal. Also, one more announcement. The call meeting for the kindergarten teacher, which was scheduled for today after the second service, has been postponed. And just be ready for it. We'll send out a congregation-wide communication about that later here pretty soon in the week. For all the other announcements, you can find those in the weekly update that's there in the church lobby or that you received perhaps through email. Quick note on that. If you don't receive that by email but you want to, please send me your email address and I'll add it because there's a lot of people that we could really still get on that. So if you're interested in the electronic copy through email, let me know. But may God bless your week as you continue to confidently share Christ's resurrection. Please stick around to greet one another too.